Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, selected verses. And as I'm reading this, there's a couple of phrases that are important to understand. You'll hear the word vanity a lot. The actual Hebrew word means something like smoke, wind, vapor. You know, something that you feel but has no real substance. And that's why they use the word vanity to translate it. You know, a vain person, very proud of himself, but for no reason. Okay? And then the second phrase you're going to be hearing as I'm reading this lesson is under the sun. When Solomon, who wrote Ecclesiastes, is using that phrase, he's expressing the idea of looking at life from a totally worldly perspective, without any, you know, eternal consequences. Okay? So with that background, I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and the striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet, he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity, striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Colossians, the third chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. Now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your youth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." And God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you. The things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today, although all the lessons for today really blend together thematically quite well. Beginning with the book of Ecclesiastes from chapter 2, "There is nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God." This is our text. As I mentioned earlier, there are some key words to understand in reading the book of Ecclesiastes. If you don't understand that and read the book of Ecclesiastes, you're going to come away really depressed. The book of Ecclesiastes is about King Solomon, who, if you remember, you know, your Bible stories, was extraordinarily wealthy and extraordinarily wise. And in Ecclesiastes, he sets himself to examining what's worth it. What's worth it if you leave God out of all the equations in your life? and explore looking at life from strictly under the sun. And everywhere he looked, he found things to be depressed about. You can work hard all your life, and then the day after you retire, you have a heart attack and die. I'm not trying to be prophetic here. But if that does happen, so what? If you look at life from an eternal perspective, if your heart is set on ending up in glory, but boy, if you just worked like a demon all your life, 40, 50 years, so that when you could retire, you could just relax and enjoy things like that guy in our gospel lesson for today. And then all of a sudden you die. Wouldn't that be depressing if there's not heaven? It would be. And we hear stories about people's lives all the time that end that way. How many famous movie stars have you heard of that died at a young age? They had money, they had glory. From a worldly point of view, they had beauty. From a worldly point of view, they had it all. And what did it bring them? Frequently, they killed themselves. Why? When you have all those things. Well, it's because what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes is true. It's a chasing after the wind. It's looking for substance where there really isn't any substance. But that's what most of the world does. You know, I'm kind of amazed since the Roe versus Wade decision and the legislation of abortion being returned to the states, how much child care has been literally attacked. I don't know of any pregnancy centers that go and grab people and drag them in and say, you're not going to get an abortion. You're going to do what we say. That's not how it works. God told us to be fruitful and multiply. Outside of working in the garden, that's the only other thing God asked us to do when he first created us. Now, parenting and pregnancy centers are literally being attacked, burned, spray painted. I was kind of fascinated, and normally I don't like to get too political, but this is in another state, so the governor of Michigan. Though legislation was passed to give adoption tax credits, and they'd been in the budget for years and years, and legislation passed to help all crisis pregnancy centers, they were line item vetoed. They talk about choice. But if they can't have their choice, if you will, neither can people that want to bring children into this world. You've heard it said that you can't take it with you. And what Solomon discovered as he was writing the book of Ecclesiastes is that for almost everything that we experience in life, that is absolutely positively true. And if that's what you're chasing after, you're going to be depressed. Because that's not where you find joy in life. Chasing after all those things that aren't going to be yours in the life to come. But the phrase, you can't take it with you, is not completely true. If you look at life from an eternal perspective, what does it mean when Jesus said in our gospel lesson to be rich toward God? Or in another place in the gospel of Matthew, to not store up treasures on earth where moss and rust destroy, to lay up treasures in heaven. What does that mean? God doesn't need money. God doesn't need clothing. God doesn't actually need anything. But there is something that God loves, and it's us. Though you can't take the wealth that you accumulate with you, all the earthly glory that you have, with one exception, will be gone. While even a memory of you, you know, for most of us, one or two generations from now, nobody will even remember who you are. But there is something you can take with you. Your children. Your grandchildren. Maybe that person living next door to you. Maybe somebody that you work with or go to school with. By sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with them, by bringing someone to know about the love that God has had for us, a love so great that he sent his son Jesus to die in our place, so that when he was raised from the dead, he could give us all eternal life with him and his Father in eternal heavenly glory. If you can give that to somebody else, that person you can take with you to beyond the grave. That's what it means to be rich toward God. And when one's life is focused on that, that's when you start to really enjoy life. Because you stop worrying about all the other garbage. Because you know it doesn't really matter. But what do we end up doing? We spend our days worrying. About what? Well, this, that, the other thing. I'm not sure what you're worrying about lately. But from an eternal perspective, does it really matter? If you go to God and say, God, should I be worrying about this? What do you think God will say to you? Absolutely, that's right. But we get caught up with the rest of the world. We don't spend the time with our families that we should. We don't take time to talk about Jesus with others, even though we may see they are depressed, that they are worried, that their life is falling apart. What an opportunity to give them something that really matters and can take their worries away. But do we seize that opportunity? More often than not, the answer is no. Instead, we join in with them, worrying about the finances, worrying about relationships, but only from an earthly perspective, not thinking about heaven at all, not thinking how we might be able to use this circumstance or that circumstance to bring the love of God to bear. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, in our gospel lesson for today, that's what that guy was saying. And most people think, well, that's not what we're supposed to be doing in life. They view that phrase as something negative. When God said fool to that man, it wasn't because he wanted to eat and drink and be merry. It's because he hadn't spent most of his life finding real joy. He put everything that should matter off to focus on what didn't matter. God had blessed him beyond his wildest imaginations. He was so good at farming that his barns were full. He was doing pretty good. Boy, what do I do with all this extra stuff that I don't need and will never need? How many of you got stuff at home that you don't need and probably are never going to need? Oh, You're just like him. Didn't occur to him to just give his superabundance away. He just built bigger barns. You know, there's real joy in giving, accumulating to the point where you don't know where to put things. It's not fun. And he put off that joy of giving, being rich toward God all of his life, so that one day he could sit back and relax and just enjoy his wealth, probably all by himself. I doubt he had time for a family. I doubt he had time for friends. And just when he thought he could relax, his life was taken away from him. And you know what the world's reaction would be to that? Well, that's too bad. He never got to enjoy life. And in a sense, it is too bad. But not because he died, if we're thinking eternally. We're thinking about the joys that God can give us. Death is not something to be afraid of. Death is not something to worry about. But he was a fool, because what he should have been doing all of his life and finding joy in doing it, he kept putting off. Solomon was rich. Solomon was wise. Take his word for it. All the things that you can chase after. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll find out he did chase after about everything you can think of. And this is what he found. It's a chasing after the wind. It looks tempting, but it has no substance. It looks like it will satisfy. As time and again, just reading the news, we find out. It doesn't. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil, which we can do if our focus is eternity. This also I saw is from the hand of God. So Solomon's advice to you and to me is focus on what's real, what has substance for all eternity. And if you keep your focus there, whatever days God does give you on this earth can be happy ones. Rejoicing in the care of God he gives you here during this life, and rejoicing in the knowledge that better days for all eternity are yet to come. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.